I want to read something to you that I saw. Just someone posted it, and I just happened to capture it. But it's a poignant point as we are gathering. And for those that are watching by way of live stream, this is for you as well. And it says this: as church attendance numbers fade across the nation and online services become more convenient, it's important to remember why church attendance for you and your family matters so much. You can't serve on your sofa, from your sofa. You can't have community of faith on your sofa. You can't experience the power of a room full of believers worshiping together on your sofa. Christians aren't consumers. We are contributors. We don't watch, we engage. We give, we sacrifice. We encourage, we pray by laying hands on the hurting. We do life together. The church needs you, and you need the church. Now, if you just agree with that, would you just clap your hands and just lift up a shout? I mean a real shout, so that those that are live streaming recognize there really are some folk here this morning. Amen. Across the nation, across our nation particularly, there has been a waning, if you will, of church and church life. People have made choices and decisions, and the pandemic didn't help. It pushed some into social media and doing things online, and for many, it gave them an opportunity for convenience. And I, like anybody else, enjoy I don't know when I've really had a Sunday. Well, I've had a few Sundays off, but they're few and far and in between because of the life that I've chosen to live in serving God and serving God's people. And doing the best that I can in this season of life to bring balance to that. But I am convinced of this. As much as I enjoy the presence of God in my solitude and in my secret place, there is nothing like the presence of God in the company of the saints. There just isn't. And it's because of how He has designed, created His body. And so I'm glad to see all of you out today, and excited about spending this time in the Word for just a short period of time. I want to maybe bring a pause, a comma, maybe a period, if you will, to our conversation and our theme that we've been talking about in conquering fear. And in so doing, I want to relate some passages of Scripture of how Jesus really spoke to and dealt with the fear that He was recognizing in His leading of the disciples. Pastor Jamal, and I moved this up here, but this light is conflicting now. So can we put this back down? And let me get, you need some help? Or you got this? Hold on. Coco's coming. Come on. Let's get some. Okay, well, Gary's coming too. So, okay, anybody else want to get up and help? No. I appreciate. No. See, this is demonstrating something. This is demonstrating working together. Amen. Thank you, man. All right. How many of you know just because you can do it yourself doesn't mean you have to do it yourself? Yeah. Okay, this thing is heavier than I thought it was. Excuse me one second. Okay. All right. Yeah, I can move it too. And so over this month, we've been talking about conquering fear. Pastor Jamal has spoken to some things with that, as well as Pastor Deborah. And I just kind of want to bring us to a point of pause around this theme, because as we move into next month, I'm feeling led to move in a different direction. However, this teaching is key for us in this season of our lives, okay? It's really important that we recognize that we can make a choice whether we give ourselves over to fear or whether we continue to move in faith, okay? Now, in many ways, fear is the opposite of faith. It's not doubt, it's fear. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about here, because when Jesus speaks to fear, he equates it with lack of faith. And so there's some things that I believe Holy Spirit is correcting in our teachings to help us be more intentional and more accurate with how we live. And one of these areas is in this place of conquering fear and truly walking in faith. Faith, say walking in faith.
Walking in faith.
I mean, think about it. Okay. The opposite of the devil is, okay, now do you think about that? That's wrong. That's wrong. Now, Pastor Val said it, but how many of y'all thought it? When you think the opposite of the devil, you think it's God. See, that's really a, what's the word, Lord? That's so far from the truth. Because that means the devil is on the same level as God, and they're opposites. God created an angel that fell, who became Lucifer. The devil is a created being, just like all the other angelic hosts. Some kind of way, we started to equate the power of the devil being the opposite of the power of God. Don't you know that God could just snap his finger, bat his eye, and the devil would be gone? I need us to think a little higher. And that's where we're at right now in some of our teachings. See, man, that's one. If you just grab a hold of that, if you don't hear anything else I said, but you can walk out of here with that thought in mind, that the devil is not equal to God. That's why we have power over the enemy. Because we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The same stuff he did, we can do. He said, "In greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father." God has no equal. I'm going to say it again. God has no equal. So just take a moment and make that paradigm shift right now, because I know some of you thought it, but you didn't say it. And that's part of the problem, or part of the challenge, in you and I walking in the fullness of the things of God. You have the same power that raised Christ from the dead living on the inside of you. It's that power that causes you and I to walk in power over the enemy. That causes you... The opposite of God is not the devil. There is no opposite. There is no equal. When we say you're God and you're God alone, that's it. And today you just got a revelation that's going to help you walk out the rest of your life, because now you can put the devil under your feet where he really is supposed to be. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It's not like we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and there's God and there's the devil on this side. That's not how this works. So this place that we're in is a place of accelerated growth and maturity. I stated that this year was a year of accelerated kingdom advancement. In the acceleration of kingdom advancement often means a paradigm shift. And that was just one of them right there. So we entered into this place talking about faith, and I want to focus my teaching today on a statement that I've made some years ago, and that is this: faith is the neutralizer of fear. Faith is the neutralizer of fear. It is the stabilizer of the unknown. I stand here today, my faith still intact. Though times have been hard, I will not look back except to remind myself, God, you have kept me. You see, it's those things that you remind yourself of that help you to arrive in a place where you are confident in God and you're walking with him. And as a result of that, it causes your faith to remain in a place that it neutralizes fear every time. And it stabilizes the unknown, meaning that which I don't know will not shake me. For I am firmly rooted and grounded in God, in his word. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, his focus is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, in his word, does he meditate sometimes? No. In his word, does he meditate day and night, day and night, day and night? And he, that one, will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in his season. Talking about a root system. Talking about going deep in God. We were singing that a little earlier. Going deep in God. One of the challenges for many right now in their faith and dealing with fear is they've not been able to go deep in God or recognize this. Everything in your life is to strengthen you and bring you into a greater place of faith and endurance. There are trees outside right now that are so deeply rooted that doesn't matter what kind of storm comes through, they're not coming out the ground. Now, a few leaves may fall off, a few limbs may break.
Come on.
So we've got to be willing to really assess ourselves. I was telling some of the folks on Wednesday when we met, I said, we can't get deep in the weeds around this thing. Really, what is fear? Is it this? Is it this? I'm going to give you just a statement. You can do with it what you want. And I'm not trying to be facetious, and I'm not trying to insult anybody. But I'm saying, I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. You do understand that this gift of faith is a very simple thing. For by grace are you saved through faith. Abraham, all he had to say was, okay. And it was accounted to him as, all he said was okay. And it was counted to him as righteousness. It established him in a place of relationship. Sometimes for you and I, as an act of faith, we just simply need to say, okay. So this morning, I just really want to bring some closure to this in a way, talking about faith is the neutralizer of fear. It's the stabilizer of the unknown. Remain in faith, you're going to be okay. Stay in faith, you're going to be okay. Paul makes that real clear when he says, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course. And at the end of the day, I kept my faith. I kept the faith. Because here's what you got to know. That's what the enemy is after. He's after your faith. Little faith, little works, little faith, little progress. And God would that you and I would make the connection that every time you walk through a season, every time you walk through an experience, it is for the building of your faith. Because every time we get on the other side, he wants us to be able to say, I'm wiser now. I'm stronger now. I am more confident as to who I am in God and more confident in my God. So this is what I'd like to offer to you in a very simple way. Fear is an external reaction to an internal reaction to an external situation. Fear is an internal reaction to an external situation that is perceived as dangerous or a threat. It is most often evidenced in expressed through our emotions, our actions, or physical bodies. You getting that? Pastor Deborah, I know I didn't get this to you, but can you, I'm going to say it a couple more times. Can you put that on the screen? You want me to say it slower, though? I know, don't you? Yes. Okay. Fear is an internal reaction to an external situation that is perceived as dangerous or a threat. That ain't all of it. It is most often evidenced or expressed through our emotions, our actions, and or our physical bodies. Do I need to say that latter part one more time? It is most often evidenced or expressed through our emotions, our actions, and or physical bodies. Okay, so everybody read this on the screen right now. Here we go. Fear is... Okay, so hold on. So we're going to use our outside voice, and you're going to shout like you're in fear. No, I'm just joking. Okay, go back. You got the whole thing on there? All right, great. Okay, shout it out real loud. You ready? Here we go. Fear is an internal reaction to an external situation that is perceived as dangerous or a threat. It is most often evidenced or expressed through our actions, our emotions, and or physical bodies. Now, let me just go to, I'm going to three passages of Scripture to just kind of pull this in, and then I want to make just a couple closing statements and remind us of something that I taught as well some time ago. So Matthew 14, 22 through 33 is where Jesus walks on the water. So I don't want you to be dull of hearing. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to hear this with fresh ears, see it with fresh eyes. So it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. Say the other side. Mm-hmm. While he sent the crowds away, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves. For the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Mm-hmm. They cried out in fear. Fear is an internal reaction to an external situation that is perceived as dangerous or a threat. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. Come on, say he was scared. Come on, say he was afeared. And beginning to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are certainly God's Son." Let's look at Luke 8. Luke 8, 22 through 25. Come on, say, "I'm going to conquer this thing. I'm going to conquer it with my faith." Now, on one of those days, Jesus said to his disciples, "Get into a boat." He said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." Say with me, "Let us go to the other side." Mm-hmm. So they launched out. Say they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake. And they began to be swamped and to be in danger. They came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." One translation says, "Don't you care that we perish?" And Jesus got up, rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped and became calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" All of us have seasons of getting to the other side. What is your other side in this season of life for you? What is it that you are praying, believing for, pressing to get to the other side? How is God leading you right now? And it is about getting to the other side, but often in the midst of going to the other side, getting on the other side, stuff gets in the way. Life gets in the way. All of a sudden, you're dealing with some illness, some sickness. You're dealing with some financial situation. You're dealing with some relational situation that could be your marriage. It could be your children. It could be your parents. It could be extended relatives. It could be all kind of things going on that then begin to have some kind of effect on going to the other side. All of our lives are in some ways, are continually going to another side, an other side. And most often, it's a better side. All right. We have to be able to navigate through the things that happen to try to discourage us, try to distract us, try to get us off point where we begin to doubt whether we're ever going to get to the other side of this. Whether I'm ever going to, is there ever going to be an ending to this? And your faith plays a role in it. Your faith, my faith, plays a role in it, because it is faith that every time when you exercise your faith and you stay in that place of faith, it will neutralize the fear. All of us are susceptible to fear, just like Jesus said about offenses. I think I'll just pause right there for a moment. Church folk can be some of the most easily offended folk on the planet. There are unbelievers that just, I don't care what you're saying. That ain't, you know, not offended by it at all. But we are so infantile. Because we haven't grown. We haven't matured. I've had seasons of being offended. And it didn't fare well until I was willing to deal with why I was offended or who I offended and made amends. Okay, I'll just. That was just like. No, I'm saying, I just felt I needed to get that in the atmosphere for somebody watching or somebody in this room. You see, I'm looking up, so I ain't looking at any of y'all. So you can say, why are you talking to me? Then you'd be offended, yeah. All right, y'all. For some, getting to the other side fearlessly is going to take you exercising your faith as you never have before. I'm convinced that many believers have a reservoir of faith that they've never really tapped into. Because you've never equated what you've been through with what God has deposited in you. You're here because you have exercised your faith, or you wouldn't be here. You need to be able to say, I'm a person of faith. I'm a man or woman of faith. Don't mess with me. That's what you need to be able to say to the devil. Not anybody, don't see no faces. That's what you need to say to the devil. Try that one more time. After a while, when you've walked in a certain way, the devil knows he can't come at you that way anymore. Right. So he stops. Yep. But if every time you're on your way to the other side, the next thing that God wants to do in your life, and all of a sudden you hit a wall or something happens, and now you start to feel anxious. And the enemy picks up on all of that. You start to worry. You start to doubt. You start to have distrust. That shows that you are leaning more to the place of fear than remaining in the place of faith. One more passage of scripture here that I want to read. I want to go to Luke 8. No, go to Matthew. I'm sorry, we just did that. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, starting in verse 5. Matthew 16, I like this passage because Jesus is trying to get them to recognize something about themselves that I believe Holy Ghost wants to get us to recognize about ourselves. See, the one thing that the disciples kept missing was Jesus said, let's go to the other side. They kept missing. He wasn't saying, let's try to go to the other side. Let's hope we get to the other side. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. I want to encourage you and those that are watching by way of live stream, when God speaks a word to you, just receive it. Go with it. Walk with it. Stay with it. Because he's not guessing, and believe it or not, he's not working it out as you go. And I know we like to say that he's working it out, but that's just like what we said earlier about the devil and God. God is not like the Wizard of Oz behind a curtain pulling levers and doing stuff. That's not, no. And if I had more time, I'd really go to some of the scriptures that I love to read that keep my perspective as to how I see him. It causes me to write the songs that I write like Sovereign Lord. Yeah. The earth and the sky and sea, created by your word, show your majesty. The stars, which you call by name, herald and proclaim that you are Lord. I rehearse those things because it helps me. I go to the word and I find the passages where he talks about himself. To whom then will you liken me? I love that. I just love that statement. Only God can say that. To whom then will you liken me? And then there's one passage. He said, if I wanted a house, I wouldn't be asking you. I mean, there's just all kind of things that just help us kind of see. No, I don't need that. I love the passages that say, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. See, the acceleration of kingdom advancement starts with the acceleration in your mind and in mine concerning who we are and what's been made available to us. Jesus' walk with the disciples, who later became the apostles, was to help them see just a glimpse of the greatness of his kingdom and what would be available to every believer who would live in faith and exercise their faith. So Jesus is walking them through, and when it came to feeding the thousands, you know what he said? He said, you feed them. What'd they say? We don't have. We couldn't feed all these people. Okay, well, let's see what we got. And they went and found a little boy. They brought it to him. Jesus took it, blessed it, and then began to distribute it. And then he said, now you go feed them. You see, that was one of his ways of helping them understand the power of his kingdom activated through faith. It took faith for them to even get the people ready to eat something. Remember, Jesus said, go and tell them, sit them down in groups of 50s. We've got to get this thing organized now. Organization is a good thing. He says, have them sit down so we can, you know, and then we're going to distribute the food. He was wanting them to get a glimpse of the provision that's available through his kingdom when we exercise our faith. Look at somebody and just say, there is no lack in the kingdom of God. And then if you really believe it, say, and I live in the kingdom of God. That means whatever I need is in the kingdom. And I simply need to exercise my faith, to allow it, to make it become a reality in this place, in this life. I'm gonna clap. Now, so Jesus is showing them his kingdom. So here in Matthew 16, it says this, verse 5. And the disciples came to the other side of the sea. There it is again, the other side. But they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They began to discuss among themselves, saying, he said that because we did not bring any bread. Now, how many of you know they were so far off? They were so far off. He's saying one thing, they're interpreting it another way. But Jesus, aware of this, said, ye men of, little faith. Why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves? The 5,000, and how many baskets full were picked up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many large baskets full you picked up? Paul, when he's writing in Philippians, and he's talking to those who are giving and sowing into his ministry and into his life. We see the scripture that says, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What he's saying is, as a result of your giving, there will never be lack for you. God's going to see to that. But here's the part I want you to get. God is not satisfied with just meeting our needs. He's not satisfied. Jesus didn't die for our need to be met. He died to save us so that we could enter his kingdom where any and everything is available to us as a covenant right. And so what Jesus is saying to them here, he's kind of focusing on a couple of things. He's saying, okay, you remember we fed the 5,000? You remember we fed the 4,000? Do you also remember what was left over? Meaning it wasn't just enough to get by. Why do you think I would do that for them and then you sit here with nothing? So often we're living out of this place, and he starts out by saying, you have little, you're thinking too small. You're thinking about just enough bread to eat today. I'm trying to show you the expanse of my kingdom where there's always going to be more. There's always going to be more. There's supposed to be more. And somehow we as a people, say as a people, we must be willing to break this paradigm, break this mindset so we as a body, say as a body, begin to experience the abundance. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think according to the power within us. Shout abundance. Come on, really shout abundance. And then you need to do like this. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. He said, we fed the 5,000. We fed the 4,000. Then he says, how is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? He's saying, I didn't speak to you concerning bread because it's already a given that need is taken care of. So often we're bringing up conversations to God. He's saying, okay, if you want to talk about that, I'll listen. But that's not where I'm at. Faith is the neutralizer of fear. It's the stabilizer of the unknown. Every time you look in the scriptures over and over and over and over, and you see, fear not. It is that internal reaction to an external situation. And it's not always evil. It's not always bad. Remember when Jesus was born? You remember when all of a sudden, it says all of a sudden, say all of a sudden. How many of you know that all of a sudden can shake you? Yeah, all of a sudden, it says, you know, there appeared in this, there was angels. And what did the angels say? Fear not, because they're having an internal reaction to an external situation. What is that? Don't be afraid. I came to give you some good news. Your Savior has arrived. And this is where you will find him. The first angel showed up, they got scared. Second one showed up, they got even more scared. The other one showed up, they got more scared. Because then it says, and then there was a whole host of them praising God and saying glory to God. For every believer, we can walk in authority over fear as we grow in our faith, trust, and confidence in God. There's three growth areas that should be happening all the time as you walk us out. One, our faith. Secondly, our trust. And thirdly, our confidence. Come on, say faith, trust, confidence. Say it again, faith, trust, confidence. That's where Jesus was pulling the disciples into, and that's what Holy Spirit is saying to you and I right now. Because walking in authority over fear is because we've learned to live in a perpetual state of faith, trust, and confidence in God. If I brought any one of you up here and put a mic in your hand, you could give a testimony of what God has brought you through. And for some of you, you could go story after story after story. And if we gave the mic to everybody, we'd be here till whatever time. We'd have to order in some food. Y'all, you're like, as long as we get to eat, I'll stick around. But maybe it's a good thing. That's why, see, that's what testimony services were supposed to be years ago. How many of y'all remember those? Mm-hmm. Testimony services. Pastor Maurice and I was in a service recently. They had testimony service. And they all kind of start with that. Yeah, they all start with kind of the same phrase. And then they go, yeah, y'all know that, giving honor to God who's the head of my life. Yeah, that's a part of it. But, and that's not a bad statement, giving honor to God who's the head of my life. However, what that was intended to be was an opportunity to hear what God is doing in the body that stirs the faith of everybody. so that by the time you're done, you're saying, if God could do it for sister so-and-so, God could do it for me. He's not a respecter of persons. And then you just walk out in what I just said. You walk out in faith, trust, and confidence that if God will do it for them, he'll do it for me. But God, hear me now, but he doesn't want you to live in that place, because that goes kind of back to what Paul says. They that compare themselves amongst themselves are not wise. See, God is not looking at you and saying, well, I guess I got to do it for her because she gave that testimony, and now I'm going to have to do for her what I did for him. And No. It's personal. Say it's personal. Come on, say this thing is personal. And you need to know this. God will meet you right where you are according to your faith.
That's right.
According to your faith.
Yes.
All of us get challenged around things. We hear things, and it produces something on the inside of it that wants to push us to a place of anxiousness, anxiety, wants to push us to a place of fear. But you have to be rooted and grounded in such a way that you can rise up in faith. I shared this point recently, and I believe it was just a personal test for me. I went to my doctor for a wellness visit, and it was a great visit. But my doctor was kind of playing with, because we're friends, and he's like, yeah, you know, you've been running from me. I said, no, I ain't been running from you, man. Yeah, you know, I know you're afraid. I know you still probably have some fear. And he's talking about the health challenge I went through. Now, what he didn't know is I'm the same guy that's just teaching a series on conquering fear. So I said, okay, Randy, listen. I said, no, I'm not afraid. This is not fear. I said, I'm endeavoring to walk out faith. And so he said, yeah, but you're human. We're all human. I said, yes, but I'm also spiritual.
Right.
Now, and by the time we got done talking about it, we were fine. Because he knows how to relate to me, and I know how to relate to him. But my point with that is, in that moment, something was being spoken to me that I could not accept. I would not accept. Do I believe we need to take care of our physical bodies? Absolutely. Am I endeavoring to do that? Absolutely. But I don't go see my physician because I'm afraid. And I don't stay away from him because I'm afraid. This is called faith. Faith is the neutralizer of fear. It's the stabilizer of the unknown. When Peter stepped on the water, he was in faith. But once he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the waves, looked at the circumstance, say the circumstance.
Circumstance.
Looked at the situation. Come on, say the situation.
Situation.
It caused him to falter. And the faith that he was operating in was now being replaced with fear, because what he was seeing and experiencing was doing something internally on the inside of him that made him feel like, maybe I made a mistake. See, very often, in our pursuit of greater places in God, greater places that he wants to do in us and through us, we come up under attack. And that can come in many ways. But when that happens, that's the time to shore up yourself in your faith. As a matter of fact, let me back that up. That's not the time to shore up yourself in faith. Because you remember I said earlier, there is no crash course in the Word. There's no crash course in faith, meaning that you can all of a sudden, I gotta get my Bible. I gotta Google these scriptures. All you doing is getting it here at best, but not here. And that's what causes the challenge when life hits you. It's too late. You need divine intervention right then. That's why it behooves us to get in the Word and to study the Word and to meditate on the Word. That's what God told Joshua. Meditate on my Word day and night. Let me just turn here real quick. I'm just going to go just a couple more minutes because I haven't been here for 3 weeks. And I am the pastor. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Joshua 1, starting at verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Now, how many of you know that when God was speaking that, he knew every ite in the land? He knew every enemy in the land. And he's telling Joshua, I got you. No man will be able to stand before you. That's what he tells him. But he says this. Here are the dependent actions, though. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you may have success wherever you go. Now, this here is a very foundational key for you and I in our walking in faith and remaining in faith. He goes on and he says to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You see, we have abandoned the meditation of the Word. We have abandoned it. And so we'll come to church, we'll come to service, but very little of what I've said to you will stick with you. That's why I said if there's the only thing you get out of this is recognizing that the devil and God are not on the same plane. If that's the only thing you get, then go with that. I pray that you get more. That's why we take these things. That's why we put it on Facebook, or you can go to our website so that you can really get it on the inside of you. Meditate day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then, say then, for then you will make your way prosperous and will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble. There it is. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Do not be afraid. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That is foundational for us when we talk about faith being the neutralizer of fear and the stabilizer of the unknown. He's saying to Joshua, if you will meditate on my word day and night and live in my word day and night, when anything hits you, it's going to have to hit my word too. It's going to have to deal with my word. It's going to have to deal with my word on the inside of you. That's why, as much as I love and have the relationship I have with my doctor, he said something that was an affront to my faith. Now, I can patty cake it. I can be polite about it and not say anything. But I said, I'm not leaving out of here carrying that. And I ain't trying to rebuke it on the way to my car. I need to settle that, set that in place right now. So when I left his office, I went out in the same confidence that I walked in his office. That's good. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, I'm reading from the Message Bible. It says this, the foundational fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith, say that again, come on, say the act of faith. I know you've heard this before, say it again, the act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. It is the act of faith that sets you apart. It is the act of faith that sets you apart, not just from the world. It sets you apart even in the body of Christ, because we all live in varied places concerning our faith. That's why some are able to execute and do certain things and others are not. It's according to your faith. And most who have learned to live in a space where they are accomplishing things, even in the midst of opposition, have learned to exercise their faith and take authority over fear. And they've learned to do that as they continue to walk in a place of faith, trust, and confidence in God. They are able to rehearse to themselves. That's part of the meditating. Sometimes you just need to sit down and just meditate. Just remind yourself. I just want to sit here and I want to think on the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. And then all of a sudden, I just start seeing this video play. And I hear Mark score on the video. And it's just playing right through. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to recognize I don't have any reason to fear. I don't have any reason to worry about anything. Very recently, and I really am wrapping this up. We'll be out by 2. I just need to really feel like I've delivered this in the way that God has given it to me. So some of you will know that a dear friend of our ministry, Calvin Noel, released a video recently. And he's released the second one. But the one he released on the first had a song, one of my songs. He entitled it, There Is No Place. When I wrote it, titled it, recorded it as, I Will Always Love You. Those songs have meaning for me because they were written at times when I'm reminding myself of the faithfulness of God. And I'm sitting in the attic in my house at the time, and I'm trying to figure some things out. Things had just started to fall apart. And rather than rehearse to God my list of what I need him to do, I just simply found myself playing. And then all of a sudden, I begin to sing. There is no place I'd rather be than here with you, my Lord. This is in the attic in my house, in the middle of the night. For in my heart, there is a longing to love and serve you more. All that I have, I lay at your feet. To serve you is my greatest joy. I will always love you, worship and adore you. I will always love you, Lord. That's all I knew to say. But in that moment, he was there, and he began to bring encouragement to me and strength to me. And while I still needed to walk through some things that built my faith even more, I recognized this. When faced with anything that's challenging, the best place and the first place is in the face of God. Thank you, Lord. So in my teaching on faith, I've shared this statement with you. And I want to end out this time, and Pastor Jamal, I want you to lead us in on giving. Mark, would you come up and just play some for us? It's the act of faith. The act of faith. The act of faith is an action taken as a direct result of a decision to totally trust and act on God's word in spite of one's limited ability or complete inability to see, reason, or comprehend. Now, I know you've all heard this before, but I need you to hear it again with fresh ears, because I know that many of you, many of us, were going through some challenging things. It is an action taken in absolute confidence that God is able to accomplish what he has spoken, regardless of its complexity or seeming impossibility. It is an action taken with the belief that at the very moment the decision is made, it is done. Once acted upon, everything needed to fulfill it is in motion, and the desired outcome is assured. That's the place of remembrance. And if you and I can move forward with that understanding, move forward. If you're watching by live stream, I'm talking to you as well. Move forward in the authority that God has made available to you and I through Christ. Continue to grow in faith, in trust, and in confidence. Exercise your faith, because faith is the neutralizer of fear, and it is the stabilizer of the unknown. If you receive the word, come on, thank the Lord for it right now.